take a girl and a guy, and they fall madly in love and form a family. Sprinkle in some counseling degrees and a doctorate, a dream of transforming relationships as we know it. And 20 years later, we give you power couple Dr. Ray and Jean Kedkodian. And this is their podcast, Couples Synergy.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Couple Synergy with Dr. Ray and Jean. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray.
And I'm Jean. And this is our podcast about love, marriage, and relationships.
Be sure to check us out online at couplesynergy.com or on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Couple Synergy. And please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, or send us any suggestions on topics you'd like to hear more about. We are live right now, so join our discussion with questions or just to say hi. And now on to Couple Synergy, an in-depth look at love, marriage, and relationships, where we bring you our experience helping thousands of couples transform their relationships for over 25 years.
You know, everyone says you should work on your relationship, but nobody teaches us how. So we've created this podcast to teach people what they can do to create the relationship they've always dreamed of
with the partner they fell in love with. On today's episode, we are talking about the five T's needed to fall in love again with your spouse. The five T's needed to fall in love again with your spouse. I think this is pretty important topic. And, you know, this was actually prompted by a publication that, you know, wanted us to write about it. But first, before we do that, before we talk about that, I just wanted to give a shout out to someone that made a comment on our YouTube channel. And they had made a comment on our episode 265, which was menopause and its impact on relationships.
Yeah.
That was with Kristen Mallon as a guest. And she said, this interview answered so many of my questions about menopause. Why doesn't my doctor talk to me about this? I'm encouraged to hear that finally this company is giving women the focus and attention needed. I'm sharing this with my four sisters. Thank you.
Yeah, yes. Menopause is a big deal. It is very non-understood. Not misunderstood, but it's just definitely, there's not a lot of awareness.
Definitely misunderstood.
And it's a big deal. It's a really big deal for your relationship. So thank you for that. We will bring you more of that kind of content because we know it's a big deal.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. It is. I also wanted to let people know, I mean, we're kind of, this podcast has been growing and growing, mm-hmm. and growing over the years. We're at over 340,000 unique downloads, and we are also in over 140 countries, which is really a cool thing, you know, to say, because this has just grown organically. It's grown.
We're going on our fifth year.
Wow. That's actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, it's really grown because of, you know, the audience out there and, you know, your interest in the topics that we have been talking about. Keep in mind that you could always email us at contact@couplesynergy if you have any questions or if you have any comments or also if you have any topic suggestions. It's really important for us to get that feedback so then we can kind of tailor our content to, you know, what the general public wants to hear and wants to know about.
You know, also, I don't think people know they could work with us.
Yeah, probably.
We do coaching for couples, and it's always interesting when, you know, we know people have been listening and then they're like, really, we could work with you? We didn't know that. So yes, we still take on couples as clients. So if you do want to do some work, let us know.
Yeah. So on to the five T's. These are our five T's that are needed to fall in love.
Not in any particular order.
No. This is not like you have to have one before two or three or whatever.
Or importance,
right. And so these are needed to fall in love again with your spouse. And, you know, the publication wanted us to write about, you know, a marriage that has gone cold. You know, so things have just become stagnant in your relationship and your marriage. And, you know, maybe your priorities have been kind of misaligned and now you are giving more energy and attention to work or giving more energy and attention to kids or whatever that is. And these T's necessary teas, necessary and truths.
They will be familiar because you did them when you were dating.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You did them when you were falling in love, and the behaviors that bond us and make us connected and form a relationship are also the same behaviors we need to reunite reignite a relationship, or, you know, get more connected.
Are these capital T T's or lowercase T's?
Capital.
These are capital T's. T's.
Capital T means it's universal.
Right.
Small T means it's for a specific relationship. These are capital T's.
Capital T's.
This is not going to change no matter what relationship you're in.
No. Yeah. But if you're in a stagnant marriage, this can definitely help you get out of it. So the first T that we wanted to talk about is time. Time, right? So we have spoken about quality time in the past on other podcasts, but that is the first T, is that most couples are not spending enough time with each other. And as you know, the more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them, the more you connect with them, the more you bond with them, the more you respect them, right? That's huge.
Well, we typically get paid by our time, right? By the hour. Even if your salary, you're still required to put in a certain amount of hours because that's the value you're putting into your work.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about time, we're not talking about time that is family time or socializing with friends time.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about time, just the two of you, face-to-face, no screens, and no logistical type of conversations, no problems. You know, I really want, we could talk about that in a little bit, but that's an important thing, is to make sure that your time is something that's fun.
Yeah, don't think that quality time or time together is going to be spent just running errands, right? Going to a store or something like that. Or even, you know, when we're talking to couples and working with them, we tell them that watching TV together doesn't count because they're not really spending time with each other, spending time with the TV.
You know, it is interesting if you spend a lot of time on your phone, and so does your partner. Being on a single screen together feels more connected than being on your phone in your own world. So it feels that way, but that's really not the kind of time we're talking about. And this isn't coming from us. This is research. You know, John Gottman's research says that couples should spend 5.5 hours per week together in this quality time that we're talking about. But, you know, that's not very much time. Like, it really isn't. Very doable.
Yeah.
Very, very doable. And most people are not doing it. Just so you know, most people that we know that are coming to us for help are absolutely not even spending 2 hours a week together, just the two of them.
And spending time with other couples or other friends, that is not the kind of time we're talking about. We're talking about time invested in your relationship, mano y mano, face to face.
Is that what mano y mano means?
Yeah, one on one.
Oh, I always thought it meant like man to man.
Debatable.
I don't think it is. I just think we don't know.
Mano y mano. Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. The second T
is talk.
Talk.
Mm-hmm. All right. You can sit there across from each other at a dinner table and not talk. And we've seen couples do it. We've seen couples do it in public.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, at restaurants, yeah. You'll see the couple and they'll actually be on their phones sitting across from each other at dinner and not even talking. It's,
you know, we're going to do another podcast on this idea, but.
Remember that couple in Ireland?
Yeah.
We were sitting right next to them and he was on his phone.
Talking to someone else the
whole time. Yeah. And she was sitting there.
Eating their dinner.
So,
you know, we were talking earlier today about the lazy brain.
Hmm.
You know, when you talk about the masculine and feminine brain in communication, the male brain doesn't really hear and doesn't really speak.
Yeah.
They're like,
pretty much.
And that's at its full laziness. if a a guy is not developing himself, because these are fluid things. You can definitely become a good communicator and a good speaker and a good listener. It's, those are skills. They're not just, but if you don't practice those skills, it's really easy for a guy to just sort of go inward and tune the world out and grunt.
Well, you know, to the guy's credit, you know, the male brain is designed to compartmentalize, right? We only use one hemisphere of the brain at a time, and we can't use it simultaneously like women do. So the compartmentalization is kind of a natural default for men, and especially when they are stressed out, they're going to totally shut down and compartmentalize again, and compartmentalize their partner in the process.
And the average American's pretty stressed out. So yeah, that's definitely going to interfere with communication. And on the opposite side of that, the female brain, when it isn't regulating itself and it's kind of doing what it wants, it's going to be anxious and talking and talking and talking and really saying nothing. And that makes the guy tune out. So this is a double-edged thing where both people have some work to do on this. And, you know, what's really good to do with talking is make up questions. And they can be about anything. They can be about a vacation you want to go on, or what color is your favorite pair of pants. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But talk about something new. That's what you did when you were dating. You just sort of explored and you talked about whatever. And that is the kind of communication that's going to change the wiring in your brain and help you feel more connected to your partner.
Yeah.
Not talking about problems and groceries.
Well, you know, one thing you can try is writing down questions and throwing them all in a hat and then pulling the questions and asking each other those questions. You know, it could be fun and silly questions. Like one of the questions on one of our exercises is like, you know, if you could have an animal body part, what would it be?
What would yours be?
Wings. That'd be cool.
Bat wings, or would you do like eagle wings, or chicken wings?
I guess no, not chicken wings. Eagle wings, I think, to fly and soar.
Ooh, that would be cool.
But you know, you could do fun questions like that, or you can do, you know, more thought provoking ones, and you can mix it up too. You know, in that way, you can be having conversations that you haven't had in a long time. And that's really important to do.
It's also a good idea, like when you ask your partner a question, they can ask you back.
And what kind of body part would you want to have as an animal, Gene?
I would love, I think, to have the metabolism of a hummingbird.
Oh.
Because that would be fun.
Just eat every second.
Well, maybe only a part of their metabolism. I don't want to eat every second, but I'd like to be able to not worry about those things. That'd be fun.
Got it. Okay. Well, the third T is touch. Touch. Very important. You know, one thing we know is really important is holding our child, right?
And our dogs.
And our dogs, our animals, our pets, right? Giving them this physical affection, not just, you know, positive words of affirmation or validation or encouragement, but actual physical affection is so important for them. We know that it's important. And it's important for us too. It makes us feel good when we do that.
It makes our brains healthier and our emotions healthier. And if you listen to the podcast on the one on intimacy that we just did, do you remember the title of that? It's a couple ones ago. And we had a woman on, and she was talking about that women need, was it 90 minutes?
90 minutes.
That was a long time, I think. 90 minutes is a really long time.
That's quite a long
time. Of touch to have a good sexual experience.
People can't even do 5.5 hours of quality time per week.
Right.
90 minutes.
Yeah. But, you know, if you think about every time you're touched, it releases endorphins and oxytocin, and it calms you down, and it gets you into that parasympathetic nervous system, which is where you're going to have good good communication, good conversations, and good sex. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have good sex if you're thinking about the dishes and the laundry and the kids and work and all that kind of stuff. And so all those little times of affection, those touch times, help you. It's actually going to help you be less anxious, less depressed, and have a better sex life.
Touch. Touch. And I think that's kind of self-explanatory for a lot of people. Yeah, I should be touching my partner.
Unfortunately, we do have to remind people.
I should hold hands. I should show some type of physical affection.
And some people can be very triggered by affection.
Oh, of course. You know, I mean, obviously, sexual intimacy, emotional intimacy, physical intimacy. It brings up a lot of insecurities for us and a lot of vulnerability. You know, that a lot of people have, you know, really bad histories with.
You know, we would recommend that if you are having affection with your partner and you feel uncomfortable, to talk about it. So we're getting the talk and the touch in right talk at the same and time. Touch. Mm-hmm. And if you're really dysregulated, it's really cool to listen to your partner's heartbeat, because dysregulated emotions need rhythm. And that's how we get back to regulation, is through rhythm. And so if you're listening to your partner's heartbeat and you're breathing and you're calming down, and then you can talk about what comes up for you during that. And that's how you're going to heal that, as opposed to just white knuckling through it.
The next one, so this is now number four, is trust. And trust seems, again, another self-explanatory one. But trust is very fragile. And over a long relationship, over a long committed partnership, trust is going to be broken. It's going to be violated. That is not an if, it's a when. That is something that happens in a relationship. Now, you know, we're imperfect beings, so we're going to make mistakes, right? So the goal in every relationship is to fix it, to mend, to bond together, to grow together. And to fix the trust that has been broken, you know, throughout the years. And this can be, you know, over the smallest little things. It doesn't have to necessarily be about really big ticket items that we're talking about here, but it could be just about little tiny things, you know, not saying what time you're coming home, that kind of thing, or coming late, or, you know, promising something that you're going to get something done and not doing it.
Yeah. If you want to use small T and capital T for this one, right? So, you know, capital T trust are big things like betrayal and hiding money, whatever. Look at our episode on the blue flags. Those would be the big capital T trust and the red flags for sure. But the small T flag, the small T trust could be walking past your partner, not saying hello, or getting yourself a cup of coffee and not offering one to your partner who's sitting right there. You know, those little tiny slights of thoughtlessness, because we're busy, we're in our own worlds, we're thinking our own thing, but it registers for the person that's being left. And that's an interesting thing. When you're the one that is focused in your own world and you're not being conscious or considerate of your partner, you don't know you're doing it. But your partner knows in a really big way. And over time, they just stop expecting anything from you, and they stop reaching out, and they stop talking about it. And they really stop trusting you. And it isn't because they think you're going to leave them or cheat on them, but they just really don't feel like they could really count on you, like you're really present and aware. And for a human being, that's where our anxiety increases. We're always sort of kind of looking, especially the female brain, like, are we safe? Is everything okay? And if you're forgotten about pretty regularly on these small ticket items, that ends up being a big thing over time that can actually lead to divorce in couples that have been together a very long time, that thoughtlessness.
Yeah, yeah. You think about, you know, company icebreakers where they do trust falls, you know, and you fall back and, you know, you are trusting the fact that your coworkers are going to catch you, you know, in a relationship and committed partnership. If every time you go to depend on your partner for something, they're not there, then you learn this pattern of, you know, not being dependable, you know, and this pattern that you can't count on them. So now you start really just looking at yourself and what you need to do to self-sustain, right, and to survive. And you stop looking at your partner as someone that you need.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you'll probably also move into not really want them around because they don't offer much value and it hurts.
Why should you? Right. Yeah.
So that's a really big one, and it really requires us to be mindful. And, you know, another thing I learned on that podcast about intimate, or the meditation podcast, she talked about, you know, when you're in the parasympathetic nervous system, you're thoughtful. You think about others, you're considerate of others. When you're in the sympathetic nervous system, when you're stressed, when you're overwhelmed, when you're thinking about a million things, you're thinking about survival, you're thinking about yourself. And if you are a couple that is almost always stressed out, and we hear this a lot, there are so many very stressed out people in this world, especially people that have younger children that they're trying to raise and manage careers and all the things that go with it, which everybody has to do. Everyone that has a family has to figure out how to give to their kids, give to their physical surroundings, and hopefully give to each other and themselves. Mm-hmm. And so that if you go back to the idea of touch and giving little boosts of that oxytocin, not OxyContin, that's the drug, oxytocin, then you're helping each other stay in a calmer place. You're bonding more, and it ultimately will lead to you being more considerate of your partner, and they're going to trust you more.
The last T of the five T's needed to fall in love again with your spouse is togetherness.
Ooh, that's like a four-letter word, only it has a lot more, but I'd have to count them.
It's not like a four-letter word.
It is, because a lot of people think I'm independent. I don't really want my partner knowing my business. I'm going to take trips with my friends. I'm going to do all this stuff on my own. And they're not as inclusive as would be beneficial for the relationship. Mm. We hear that a lot.
Yeah. And, you know, we did do a podcast about creating together, mm-hmm. creativity, and how that's really important for a marriage. And, excuse me, it's also part of togetherness, right? Because togetherness is doing something together, experiencing something together, learning something together. You know, when you come together as a team, as another T, when you come together as a team, then, you know, you start to build this bond and you nurture that bond. So many couples, they live these like really separate parallel lives, you know, where they are really not aware of what their partner is doing. And there's very little intersection in their lives.
People think it's an insecurity to want to be with your partner. You know, we get asked that question a lot because we've always worked together since we met. We met at work, and we've always worked at the same places and then started a company together. And other couples we know that do the same thing that work together, they get asked that question too, like, how could you spend that much time with your partner?
Yeah.
And it really is an investment. You know, when you're disconnected from anybody, you know, maybe you haven't seen someone in like 20 years, it's kind of awkward when you meet them again. It's just the way it is. And so the more that you're spending that time together and investing, the more comfortable and natural and normal it feels. And so, yeah, we get it that it doesn't always feel that comfortable. And, you know, especially if you got into this relationship a little bit older and maybe you've always had a best friend that you talk to, or, you know, someone, your parents or someone else that you're talking to a lot. And how do you make room for your partner to actually be that person and to move into that space? And maybe this is an unpopular thought, but why wouldn't you want your partner to be your best friend? And why wouldn't you want them to know everything about you? Not because they're checking up on you or whatever, just because you want them to know you and you want to know them. And so, you know, we're big proponents of that togetherness with everything, with our time, with our finances, with our creativity, ideas. And of course, if you've been following us for a bit, you know we love to travel. Mm-hmm. So we're also big proponents of doing new things together, because that forms different pathways in the brain that make you feel connected. And those shared common experiences, beautiful. That you can't get more bonded as a human being than doing shared experiences together, something new and exciting.
Speaking of shared experiences and travel, another T. we went on a trip, T, to Ireland.
Not a T, that's an I.
Right, that's an I. So that was for our last anniversary. And you can actually see it on our YouTube channel. We did a little synopsis of the tour. Another T. Now I'm going to be thinking about...
It's too much.
I am going to be thinking about words that start with T all day now. So, did we cover togetherness pretty good?
Yeah.
I think we did.
And you'll notice that this is the stuff you did when you were dating. And you'll notice that if you're not doing it, that bond that you have is getting weaker and it's withering and needs to be fed. And you can change it instantly. Like if you're listening to this, if your partner's in the room, go hug them. If they're not in the room, when you get home, touch them.
Yeah. If they look at you like you're weird, like what are you doing? Then you know that it's something you should be doing.
Right.
Okay. Remember, so the synopsis of the five T's needed to fall in love again with your spouse: time, talk, touch, trust, and togetherness. So that is that's all we got for today. Yeah. The five T's. I want to thank you all for joining us today on Couple Synergy. Our passion is in helping couples and people have happy and healthy relationships. In this podcast gives us a fun way of bringing our knowledge and expertise to you, our listeners. For all of you listening, please, please let us know how you enjoyed the show. The reviews are absolutely invaluable for us. You know, we really, really like to hear the comments from people and your questions or topic suggestions. Any of that, you could just comment on any of the platforms that we're on, but also you can email us at contact@couplesynergy.com. If you also want to be considered as guests on our podcast, you can email us at contact@couplesynergy.com. For more information about Couple Synergy and our programs such as Relationship 101, the Home Study Course, which you can get on our website, the next Couples Relationship Enhancement Weekend, which you can find out more also, and our premier couples coaching program called Couple to Couple, look us up online at couplesynergy.com.
And if you know someone who could benefit from this episode, please download it and share it. And thank you for listening.
Until next time, synergize your life and synergize your love.
You have been listening to Couple Synergy with Dr. Ray and Jean Kedkodian. Couple Synergy was recorded, edited, and produced by Dr. Ray and Jean Kedkodian. Voiceover and music entitled Breathe and Let Go was recorded and composed by Gina Gonzalez.